Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Scott Smith, and this is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith. Today we are going to be talking about the election wrap-up. If you are a Republican here in the United States today, you're probably a snug as a bug in a rug. But if you're a Democrat, you probably got some questions that you want to ask. Because it didn't come out the way we all thought it. I mean, everybody was wrong. I was wrong. Everybody was wrong on the Democrat side on what they thought was going to go on Tuesday night. We woke up Tuesday morning, and we had taken a really, really big thumping, one that we did not think we was going to take. So if you are a Democrat out there or even a Republican and got something to say, you can call in at 657-383-0995. That is 657-383-0995. Now, it was a really hard night. I had a little heartbreak that took place that day on Tuesday night. It was nothing that we seen that led up said that we were going to lose as many races as we lost. Particularly here in Georgia. In Georgia, we had a full slate of candidates. We had we were contesting a lot of seats. And in the state, we didn't pick up any seats. We didn't lose any, but we didn't pick up any, particularly in our state legislature. In my part of Georgia, we had one win, and that was Bob Trammell, who was the new state representative from District 132, representing my home county, parts of my home county, a troop. He's my state representative. He won his race. Good ground game that was put out by the team over there. I want to give shout-outs to their field organizer, Ruby Albasha. She did a wonderful and excellent job of putting the troops to the streets and turning out to vote for Bob. But across the rest of Georgia, oh, now let me give a shout-out to Debbie Budner also, who was able to maintain her seat. But across the rest of Georgia, we got our asses whooped. I'm sorry. We didn't come as close as we thought we would with Michelle Nunn or Jason Carter, and I love them both. Great candidates. None of the Fab Five came close. Chris Irvin, all the people that we were really kicking out, and Daniel Blackman, all the folks we were really pushing out to want to win these races, it just didn't happen. We didn't get the Attorney General that we was waiting for, Greg Hicks. We didn't get any of the things that we were aspiring to. Now, there's a lot of rumbling going on in the state right now about, why do we lose? And there's a lot of, it looks like the night of the long knives getting ready to happen. You got some people pushing it off on Chairman DeBose. And let me be one, I don't think it was his fault. I don't think it was the chairman's fault. I think it was every last one of us Democrats here in Georgia's fault. We took hold to a model that obviously just didn't work. So we have a lot of questions we need to ask ourselves, but before we start beating up on one another individually, we need to take and do an assessment of what we did right, what we did wrong, and what we didn't do at all. Anybody that's ever been in any type of project knows you got to do a stop, start, continue assessment after this race is over with. I know in the campaigns that I was on, that's going on. We're doing that. And if you're not doing them, then you should be doing them. Because a lot of good people, and I hope this didn't discourage them from running. I hope that some of these people return back again in 4 years and run. For some of these people that ran state representative races, I hope you turn around in 2 years and run. I hope that we have more candidates to challenge these congressional seats in 2 years. But if you're going to be prepared to run in Georgia in 2016, I'm going to need for you to start today. I know the people I'm talking to, we prepared to start to go to work. We all need to be ready to go to work. We ain't got time to sit there and do stabbing in the back and cause more internal turmoil. We need to get to work. Time to wipe off our faces. We can cry, dust off our knees. It's time to get back into the fight. 2016 will be here before we know it. So we just need to be prepared for that. A lot of different people are, you know, if you go through Twitter and Facebook and all the different social media, you got a lot of arguments going on about whose fault it is. Leave that be. Because in the end of the day, Democrats did not go out and vote. We know the numbers are sitting there, but we didn't go get out to vote. There needs to be a question why we didn't go to vote, why we didn't get out to vote. Was it messaging? I've heard a lot of people talk about the Ferguson mailer that went out, saying that was a problem. It may have been. I didn't like the Ferguson mailer. I understood what his intent was, but it didn't appeal to me, and I'm a voter. It kind of made me shake my head. Was it the fact that we was doing all the showboating we was doing? Sometimes I heard some people say that we did a lot of showboating here in Georgia. Did we overpromise? We did, you know, today I've heard this and seen it and read it in some circles that we overpromised. We did something that they call it. We overvaluated our asset. We decided we this was worth more. Like we were going out for an IPO. We took an inflated valuation of the company. So hoping that more people would come out and buy the stock when we introduced it to the market. That didn't happen. And it happened like that in IPOs too. You know, some people said the polls were inflated. We all knew that we were somewhere in the 30s and low 40s, but we decided to pump it up. And polling, well, we've been hearing this a lot, even from the national media, that the polling methodology is sucking. You know, particularly on the Democratic side, because of the way our demographics are and the way we're conducting the poll. That's something that needs to be looked at. We raised the money, obviously, at least in the major races we did, but it seemed like we didn't connect with our voters, and that's going to be the question. What wasn't done? And we, as Democrats, particularly here in Georgia, you know, this is a question that's been going back and forth for the longest time. Is it the strategy, the messaging? As a consultant myself, I think it's both. I don't think you can win a race just with the data part. And that's something, you know, some other folks were saying. There's a lot of folks dealing with data. We had probably more people sitting behind computer screens than we had out in the streets. And if that was the case, somebody got the Obama model wrong. Because everybody's claiming data, but nobody's claiming the field work. So, I mean, that's something we got to look at. Was it the way we constructed our teams? Were our teams data heavy versus being field ready? I mean, and we all know, and this was a sign that I seen in the trauma office every day, that I went in there, we walk, we win. I mean, so, if you got a problem, if you want to know how to run a good field operation, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to call Ruby Abasha. She'll probably tell you how to get this thing done. Because I don't see her do it twice. So she right now is the hero of the moment for me. And again, because we had people that was, you know, every office I went into, other than that particular office, there were people crunching data, targeting, this, that, and other. And listening to candidates had a hard time getting people in the field to go knock on doors and go out into the community. But everybody wanted to sit back and crunch numbers. I mean, that may have been the problem right there. It may have been a lack of field operation. You know, and if that's the case, we need to go back and look at that and fix it. But, you know, I'm sure that, and I'm hoping that we come to some type of resolution to this before we have party elections in February. We need to tap down on that, figure out, again, why we didn't reach certain voters that we were supposed to reach. And I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about those voters we missed. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith. Hi everyone, this is Down South, and this is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith, and we're back again. We're talking, in the first segment we talked about what we thought some of the perceived problem was in the past election. Now, one of the things everybody talked about was the voters. What voters did we miss out on? We've heard that we didn't turn out the African-American vote. We've heard that we missed out on the white vote. We even heard that the Latino vote didn't turn out the way we wanted to. And in actuality, all of those things were 100% factual and correct. African Americans did not turn out the way we wanted them to turn out. We are missing white voters, particularly white rural Georgia here in Georgia. We missed out on Latino vote. From the here in Georgia, I heard that Latinos voted 40% for the Republicans. What is that about? Why did we miss out on these critical these particular people that we need to get out to go vote? We know that, and I'm going to speak it on Georgia because I haven't really looked at the demographics of South Carolina and Alabama and Florida and whatnot. But here in Georgia, we know we make up about between 25% to 34% of the population of the state. The majority of the voters here in the state are white. We are not regional, particularly in rural Georgia. We're in rural Georgia. If you look at the numbers, whites are well over 75% voting in favor of the Republicans. Whereas we're not reaching them. And why are we not reaching them? And I listen to white Democrats, even as I was canvassing and going out in the neighborhoods here in my area, they feel like the Democratic Party has left them. And at the same time, you have the African-American vote, which we feel like we're being pandered to. Whereas the only time we see anybody is during election year, and we're not stupid. You know, we see you coming knocking on my door. Oh, it's election time. People knocking on my door. They want to talk to me. But they don't talk to me or have anything to say to me. Don't relay me any information or anything while the session is going on, when the city council is saying nothing. Like they feel like they representatives don't come and talk to them. They feel that way about their county committee. This is all across Georgia. I hear people say it all the time. Decisions are getting made without even coming and talking to them. But when it's time for a vote, they want to talk. The Latinos feel like the Democrats are left them behind because we've really not done a damn thing about immigration. The deportations are up during this administration, and they don't think that we have the nuts to go out there and tackle these issues. And that's another problem that a lot of people say that why we're not turning out the voters that we could possibly be turning out, because Democrats are scared of their own damn issues. We had a whole election cycle take place in which we ran from those things that we have been successful with over the last 6 years. I heard one candidate that vehemently stood beside the president on the Affordable Care Act the whole election cycle. I ain't talking about having some reservations, I ain't side to it. They went straight into it and dug into it and said, this is a problem, and we have a point to address it. And in Georgia, we have not addressed it enough. And again, that was Bob Trammell, one of the few people who won here in Georgia, who stood beside every time you heard him speak, talked about the 400,000 Georgians that were lacking because of Medicaid expansion not taking place here in the state of Georgia. We had other people running from it. I mean, now, I understand that every Democrat is not 100% on the Democratic platform, but dang it, people, we weren't even doing an 80-20 relationship here. Some of us were sitting on 50-50 and looking like doggone Republicans and Libertarians. So we really have to take a look at, are we turning off voters because we're not talking that they want us to talk? Are we not taking on the battles that the American people are asking the Democratic Party to take on? Are the Republicans right? Has the nation shifted to the right, and we just hadn't caught up with it yet? These are the questions we're going to ask. We have to ask if we're going to try to even think about winning elections locally in 2015 and nationally in 2016. There has to be a fundamental shift in us listening, and I realize, and I'm going to tell you, as a member of the party, you have those who are somewhat intellectually elite feel like they know everything and won't listen to anybody else because they feel like they're beneath them. And I'm not going to tell them a lie. That's one of the reasons that I probably talk as much as I do is because somebody has to speak from the point of view of the person who's living life on a regular, everyday basis that doesn't have a bunch of degrees on the wall and who lives paycheck to paycheck like everybody else. I live the normal American existence. But when I talk to people who don't live the normal American existence, who have a lot of time on their hands to pursue these things, I'm a businessman, but I'm a struggling businessman who's trying to eke out a living just like a lot of small business owners that are on the Republican side. I understand where they're coming from sometimes because there is no listening game going on. We get, like I said, you have populations that feel like they're being pandered to. And then when you say you believe in something, but then you don't even campaign on what you believe. That was the problem, I think, that why voters didn't come out for the election here this year, because we weren't preaching the sermon that we heard that's in the book. So tell me if you have a pastor, for those of you who are Christian or Jewish or whatever, or Muslim, or even Hindi, if somebody came out and was preaching you or giving you a sermon or giving you a service, and the words that came out of their mouth was based on nothing that was in your holy book, you're going to look at them like they're a fool. Are you putting anything in the collection plate? Are you going to church now or to synagogue or to temple or are you going to the mosque the next holy day? No, you're not. You're going to go somewhere where somebody's speaking some truth. So the question is, are we preaching from our book, Democrats? Are we preaching from that book? Are we truly trying to work for the progressive society that we advocate, or do we have a bunch of corporatists sitting in the rooms attempting to fool us to get in power? Because if that's the case, there needs to be a progressive revolution inside of the Democratic Party across the nation to bring us back to our values. And that's something else that I've heard that I got a very good friend of mine, David Robinson. He lives up in North Georgia. He talks about this all the time, about how Democrats are in issue silos in which we only care about the thing that we care about, and some of us, that's health care. Some of us, particularly with African Americans, it's civil rights. Then you have the LGBTs who are worried about marriage equality and equality based on sexual orientation. You have seniors who care about senior issues. You got environmentalists who only care about environmental issues. You got the gun control lobby who only cares about the gun control laws that are being passed. But do we look at the values of what it means to be a progressive and what does it mean to be a Democrat? Those values are us going to make life better for our fellow man. But we can't do that when we want to work together to push those values in an overarching, all-encompassing, big umbrella message. And we're supposed to be the big tent party, but guess what? What we really are is a campsite of smaller tents that just happen to be living together around the same campfire. We need time for us to get in the tent together. And if you're one of my Boy Scouts, they know what a big tent looked like. You know, when everybody got in there together when a storm was taking place. And it was cold outside, and everybody got in the tent together. And they worked there, and they worked it out. Yeah, it was crowded in there, and they did what they had to do, and they made it through the night safely. That's what we need to do, Democrats. It's time for everybody to get out their tents because of a storm coming. The storm's raining outside, and it's a cold rain. We need to get inside that tent together and work it out because morning is coming. And when the morning comes out, we worked it out and we survived it. But we're going to have to get in the same tent together. That's just a given. And if you're not willing to get in the tent and stop all this craziness that's going on, then you need to go find another party to join. If you look that far to the left, there's the Democratic Socialists. They're going to the Green Party. And hell, if you just that far to the right, go join the Communist Party. But guess what? There ain't no place for that if you're not willing to work with everybody else. We can't continue to allow ourselves to be locked down and anchored to the floor because we are in our own issue bubbles. We're going to have to make a move. We're going to have to decide we're going to work because we're going to be compromising. It's going to be having to go African-American caucus, talk to the Latino caucus, rural council, talk to the seniors. Everybody going to have to do something to make this thing work. because we can in this Metro versus rural and this and that, black versus white, and, you know, straight versus LGBT. It exists because there are some people who don't think that the other person's issue is as important as theirs, but all of our issues are important because the point of our party is to make life better for our fellow man. It's not to shrink government. It's not to grow government. It's not to protect Israel. It's not to stop TTP. It's not to do any of those specific things. Our job is to make life better for our fellow man through policy. Now, if that means that we protect Israel, cool. If that means we stop TTP, cool. If that means we protect marriage equality, cool. But if it does not, but if you, that's the only thing you don't concentrate on, guess what? You cause division. And division is not good for our fellow man. We as Democrats got to walk the walk that we're talking. We just really, we have to do that. We have to realize what our calling is. And like I said, that calling, for most of us, we would say, is to make life better for our fellow man, to make progress for the human race, save our planet for our future generations, to have a great economy in which everybody has an opportunity to prosper. And I say opportunity to prosper because guess what? Everybody's not. There's always going to be income inequality. There's always going to be income gaps. But the opportunity should be available to every American and everybody who comes to this country who wants to be an American to make that happen. And that's the difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. We want to build that opportunity to everyone, regardless of color, creed, sexual orientation, whatever it is. That's what we that's what we set out to do. We need to articulate that message to America. We need, and there's no one person that can do it. It's going to take a team. It's going to take a team that is prepared to work together to make sure that we can get our message out and then persuade the American people that we have the right ideas, that we have the right policies, and that we're not going to destroy our country with those policies. That's what we have to work on. All this personality clashing and political posturing is unnecessary, and it's quite selfish. We really need to think about that. We need to think about that, and we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves because 2015 is around the corner. Local municipal elections will be taking place all around the country. Everybody be voting for mayor to dog catcher. And that's where it starts off. It's going to start off because right now, if you look around, everybody's scratching their head. Well, who's going to run for these offices in 2016, particularly at the statewide and national levels? Who's going to run for these seats in Congress and the Senate seats that are going to come up? Who are going to run for those? We don't even know. Because right now, we don't even know if we got a bench. We don't even know if we got the depth to run these races. So what we got to do is we got city councilmen and people who've been sitting in seats for maybe 8, 10 years, 12 years, whatever. And guess what? It's time for us to recruit them and tell them, guess what? You don't run this year. You let somebody new get in your seat. I need you to run for state. I need you to run for state house next year. I need you to run for state senate next year. I might even need you to run for Congress. And there's nothing wrong with a primary election either, people. Because if you truly want to win, then we got to get people energized. And I've said this time and time again, and I said this year, that if we want to get the base invigorated and excited, we got to give them a race. We got to start getting into the idea we need primaries. People running against people is a wonderful thing. It gives folks a choice. Because if you got an incumbent who nobody ever runs against, guess what? People get complacent, they get apathetic. So-and-so going to win anyway. Nobody ever runs against them, so why am I going to go vote? And if that's one that's voting in your district that doesn't go and vote because there's no competition against you, you need to be trying to recruit somebody to run against you. Because as a leader, you should be trying to create other leaders. You want to challenge somebody to come take it from you. Have the nuts, and these are some of my incumbents, have the nuts to challenge people to challenge you. Get the base involved because you know all your constituents do not like you. Challenge them. And if you are the best candidate, if you can produce the message, then guess what? You will get reelected. But stop trying to take and shut other people out because you want the job that is selfish, un-American, and undemocratic. So that's what we need to do. challenge people to put their ideas on the table, because that's when we have a multiplicity of ideas and competition of ideas, then guess what? Our brains grow. Our brains grow. New ideas hit the table. We then progress. Progress leads to greater things. I can't preach that enough. And it might even come bite me in the tail one day, somebody competing with me. But guess what? That means I'm going to have to put my game, step up my game. That means I'm going to have to do what I got to do to make sure that I say that I'm the person who I am. That's business or everything. You got to step up your game and compete. I know y'all probably tired of me ranting because I'm passionate about this. Democrats, and this even goes to some of my Republican brothers, don't be too smug over there. Don't get happy. Don't think that this thing is over with and y'all done locked it down for prosperity because it has not happened. We are coming back, and we're coming back, and next time we're going to, you know, you whipped us this one time. We ain't going to let you whip us the same again, because if you do, then we do have a serious problem. But don't sit there and try to get what legislation you can get through, because we're going to be watching, and we're going to be a very loyal and open, vocal opposition. Don't think you're going to just go up there and make a pass something and that you won't have people in the streets, because we will use our First Amendment rights to take care of those situations. We will protest. We will lobby. We will come sit in your offices. We will do whatever you can to let you understand you just don't represent Republicans. You represent the Democrats in your district, too. And if you look at the vote, shoot, in some of your districts, we are sitting in the top 40th percentile in your district. And it's the district where we won. You best to be careful. That way, your other folks in your congressional district and your other districts, they voted Democrats in office. Do not take them for granted, because we would not take you for granted if we was in office. So with that being said, it was a wonderful Sunday afternoon here in Tree County, Georgia. And I hope the rest of you have a wonderful Sunday. And remember, the game is not over. It's time to reorganize. It's time to go out there and register. It's time to go out there and campaign. It's time to go out there and do what you got to do. Because in November 2015, there will be local elections, and you need to go vote. And you need to start organizing today. You need to start raising your funds today. Start training today. Utilize, freshen your mind. Let's start over again. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith, and I'll see y'all again next Sunday.
Oh, what's up?